Welcome to the podcast of Radius Church. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation. Now, what we're going to be doing today is we are starting our marriage series called From This Day Forward. And so, as much as that video might say that we'll be talking about mostly to the women today, we'll actually be talking to most of the men today, okay? But ladies, don't be too hard on them, okay? All right? Because they do want to help you, okay? Especially if you have a nail in your head, okay? All right? But that's just a funny skit about how it goes sometimes. So for those of you guys who aren't married, you can take advice from that. Sometimes they do need your help. Other times, they just want you to listen, okay? But what we're going to do today, we are going to invest in the lives of those of you that hope to get married one day and give you some tools on the front side of marriage that will help prepare you for a godly marriage. And for those of you that are already married, what we want to do is we want to make 5 commitments over the next 5 weeks to be able to help fail-proof your marriage. I absolutely believe with all of my heart these will help you fail-proof your marriage. These are things that you guys can look forward to, okay? And so this is what we're going to do. But before we really dive into the message, I have a question for all of the ladies in the house, okay? Can I get your participation? And if you're online, you can comment in the comments on the section over there. But ladies, here's my question for you. How many of you, right, you had already begun to plan out your wedding day? It was going to be perfect. Your man was going to be strong, and he was going to carry you over the threshing floor or over right into your new home and lay you on the couch or on the bed in some awesome marriage way, right after the end of the wedding. And you even named some of your kids before you were even married, right? Maybe some of you guys did that. Anybody in the house? Any ladies? Come on. Come on. Be honest. Okay. Right? Now, men, how many of you did that? Please don't raise your hand or you're not invited back. I'm kidding. I'm not that mean. Pastor Craig might be. No, I'm kidding. He's not that way. But, men, how many of you guys thought that maybe you were going to have sex twice a day and 3 times on Sunday, right? Amen? No one's going to agree with me on that one. Okay. I see how it is. You can hang me out to dry. That's fine. Right? But what we expected from marriage is not what we got. How many of you guys are still dreaming today, right? Maybe some of you guys are still dreaming. You guys, we can have a little bit of fun with this. It's okay. You relax a little bit. So you guys got to relax a little bit. Okay, I'm a youth pastor. It's okay, all right? I'm standing up here in a hoodie, okay? All right, relax a little bit, okay? We might be talking about marriage, but this is an everyday life thing, okay? So let's relax a little bit. But with marriage, right, with living with someone every single day for the rest of your life comes sometimes with disappointments, with hurt, pain, anger, and for a lot of people, it ends in divorce. In fact, I know a lot of people, right, that may ask the question, how is it even possible to have a good marriage? While probably there's a lot of people who would say, how can you even have a great marriage? Okay? And that's what we want to be able to work on today, is to give you the hope and the tools to be able to believe that you can have a great marriage, because I absolutely believe that that is possible. A great marriage is possible, but it's not always probable, especially if what you're doing is what everybody else is doing out there in the world right now. If you're listening to everything that's out there, okay, and I'm going to give you some stats, and the stats are horrifying, and you know most of them, right? You already know the one. About 50% of all marriages ends in divorce, okay? You already know that. That's very tragic, okay? But even the younger that you are, okay, you're less likely for your marriage to make it. Out of that 50% that do make it, it is very common, okay, that most of them are very miserable in their marriage and they're sticking it out for their kids. There's no intimacy. There's no love. There's nothing going on. There's no spark. There's no passion. There's no feeling. There's no love. And so the chances for those of you guys that are not currently married, right, your chances of succeeding are very, very low, okay? Very low right now. And if I told you, okay, let's put it in this perspective for you. If I told you that If you eat whatever kind of cereal that you eat or the breakfast that you have right now that you eat every single morning, it is likely you have 50% odds of getting cancer. Would you still eat the same cereal? Right? Many of you guys would say no. Okay? If I told you that all of your investments, all of your money that's in a bank account, tomorrow you have a 50% chance that all of it will disappear, what would you do? You'd probably take it out the bank. You'd change things up. You would do something different, right? Because you don't like those odds. If I told you that tomorrow when you leave your house in the morning that you had a 50% chance of being attacked by man-eating cats with thumbs, right, you would do something different that day. Because you don't like those odds. Those odds are not fair. Those odds are not good enough. They're not good enough. So why do we keep letting our marriages have the same odds? Why do we keep doing the same thing and what the world keeps telling us to do and that this is what fixes it, but yet the marriage rates have never changed? I've been hearing the 50% since I was like a child. That's how long that stat has been out there. Nothing's changed in the last 20 to 30 years in marriages. Nothing's changed. So we've got to change it. We've got to figure out what's not working. But I'm going to tell you something that is working, and that's what we're going to get into. And what's so crazy about all of this when it comes to marriage, right? In order for you to get a license, you have to take a test, right? So that way you can drive to keep people safe. But yet it only costs you $30 to go and go get a marriage license. No class, no info, nothing for you, right? But if you want to deny them on something else that they don't like, well, now you've got to watch videos. You've got to do this in order to be able to sign up for that and get out of this and get out of that. Because they believe that what they have done, what they have set up is correct. And unfortunately, what the culture is telling us today is it's not always correct. Now, many of you, for at least of those of you that are currently married, right, you guys probably said something at the altar like Kendra and I did, right? I said, I, Zach, take you, Kendra, to be my wife, to have and to hold. If you know the next line, you can say it aloud. To have and to hold from this day forward, right? From this day forward. It doesn't matter what's happened in the past. It doesn't matter what struggles you've had, what problems you had from before, right? What you did in your past. From that moment, when I said that with Kendra, it doesn't matter how much I had messed up or how much she had messed up. It was from this day forward, we're going to be better. We're going to be together. In sickness and in health, till death do us part. We'll forsake all others is the way that it used to go, right? We will forsake all others. Okay? And I love that because it's a commitment. But there's one last other part that a lot of people you may not hear anymore today, and it's at the end of that, and it's, so help me God. Okay? Now, a lot of people do it as like a declaration, so help me God. Should be more of a request, like, so help me God, because I need some help in this, because I'm not perfect, and we need to be able to do this. And so that's what we need. So we're going to do 5 commitments over the next 5 weeks, and the first one that we're going to be doing today, the first thing that we're focusing on for today is seeking God. That's the first commitment we're going to make. We're going to seek God, right? The next week, we're going to fight fair, okay? Some of you need to learn to fight fair, okay? Week 3, we're going to have fun, okay? Some of you guys need to have fun. That's the one that Pastor Craig should have let me preach. I'm kidding. 4th week, we're going to stay pure, okay? And week number 5 is we never give up, okay? We never give up. Now, what I want you guys to do is I want you guys to be able to help internalize these, to memorize these. We're going to say these aloud together. If you want to go to the next slide for me, this is what I want you guys to say with me. Now, say it with me, okay? Seek God. We are going to fight fair. We're going to have fun. We are going to stay pure, and we are going to never give up. Come on, let's do it louder. Come on, dude. Do it with me. Seek God. Hold on, they skipped a slide on me. Stay on the same slide, please. Seek God. We're going to fight fair. We're going to have fun. And we're going to stay pure. And we are never going to give up. Okay? I want you to memorize these. Because these are the commitments for these, for those of you guys that are married, that it's really going to help you. Now, a lot of the problem is a lot of people aren't really seeking God in their marriage today, when they're, or even before they're married. So if I want to talk to those that are not married yet for just a minute, okay, sometimes it's always about seeking the one, okay? It's always about getting the one, okay? Right, gentlemen, it's always like, oh, yeah, I'm going to find the one. I'm going to get out there. We're going to go to clubs, and we're going to find the best dancer or whatever, okay? All right? You know, and she's like, oh, she gives me butterflies. Okay, right? You know, or she's so strong. She's so independent, okay? Or ladies, oh, he talks so much. He's so strong, okay? He's such a leader, all right? That's not always how it goes. And what I want for you guys today, for those of you guys that are not married, is I want you to not seek the one. Okay, I don't want you to seek a person, a spouse, a girlfriend, or a boyfriend. What I want you to be able to do is I want you to seek God. And so what I want you to make as a commitment for yourself, if you are not currently married, but you're single and you're looking, right, it should be God is your one and your spouse is your two. Okay? God is your one and your spouse is your two. This is what we all need to be able to learn, is that God has to be our number one. Whether you're married, whether you're unmarried. We have to be able to seek God first so that way you can be prepared for your two. Okay? In fact, when Jesus was asked, what's the most important commandment? He didn't say, love your spouse with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your heart, and with all your strength. When he was asked, what's the greatest commandment? He essentially said, God is your one, make him your two. Matthew 22, verse 37. He replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. He said, this is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. God is your one, and your spouse is your two. Okay? I'm going to take a moment, and we're going to talk to a couple different groups as we go on, okay, through this. And I want to start with those of you that are not married, okay? And maybe one day you hope to be married, okay? We'll start with you guys for today. So what I want you guys to begin to do is I will seek the one while preparing for my two, okay? This is what I want you to be able to do. For those of you guys who are interested in married, getting married, guys, girls, whoever it is, okay, you need to seek God first and be prepared for your two, so that way God can give you one, okay? What we're going to do is when we're not married, above anything else, we want to honor God, right? We want to love God, we want to seek God, we want to please God, we want to know God, we want to live by God's Spirit, right? We want all of our lives to bring glory to God, okay? We don't want to be able to seek his kingdom, right? Just as it says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, right? It says, seek him above all else, okay? That's what it's saying. We're seeking the one while he's doing something in us to prepare us for our two. The challenge is so often in our culture today is that a lot of people think that they can just kind of, well, we can deal with church later. We can handle the spiritual business later. I'll just find the right person for me. I'll find my one before I have to look for the actual one. Before I actually seek God, I'm just going to go ahead and find me a spouse. I'm going to find someone who's good enough. I'm going to go to the clubs. I'm going to go party. I'm going to go to all the school events. I'm going to go to every single event that they have within the community, okay? And I'm going to find that person, and we'll deal with church in that later, okay? The problem is that like attracts like. Andy Stanley, he's a pastor, and he shares a great illustration and a story about a young girl who was at the time a very committed Christian, and she went off to college and she fell into some peer pressure that unfortunately happens all too often, okay? And she started to go to parties and she got into alcohol, she got into drugs, and next thing you know, she started going from guy to guy to guy to guy to guy, okay? And in the back of her mind, she's like, but I still believe in God. It's okay. I'll get back on track later. And she always had this dream of having this super godly man who was a leader, who was great, who was perfect, strong, smart, educated, okay? All of those things. And one day after college and everything, she goes back home and she's back at her mom's church and she goes to church and she finds the one, okay? There he is, all godly, strong, leader, great career, all of the things she's looked for, okay? And she tells her mom, and she's like, "Mom, I met this guy. He's everything. He's so great. He gives me butterflies. I love it." Okay? And she's like, "I think I'm going to go and make myself available to him." Okay? And this is what the mom says very lovingly. She says, "Well, sweetheart, what you need to know is that a guy like that is not looking for a girl like you." Some of you guys might have a little bit of a gut reaction right there, whether you're a guy or whether you're a girl, because unfortunately, like I said earlier, like attracts like. And so if you put yourself in a bad position, someone who's in a different position isn't generally going to find you, unfortunately, attractive. If he's looking for someone who's a godly woman, but she's not, but that's what she wanted, like doesn't attract like, right? I'll be very honest with you. When I first met Kendra, I thought she was crazy. Okay, I thought she was weird. I didn't like her from the get-go. Okay, she had crazy hair. She was blonde at one point. I was like, "What's wrong with you?" Okay, I'm just saying, your natural hair color is way better, ladies. Okay, personally speaking, but I did it. She had some issues, and I was like, "I'm good. I know I've got my issues, but I'm working on mine." Okay, I don't need none of that right now. Don't want none of it. And it wasn't until one day that Kendra broke through some of her issues with God, okay, and some issues that she was having, and I watched the breakthrough happen, and it was like all of a sudden, in the midst of my eyes, this person just transformed in front of me. She became a whole new person, okay? She got over some of her issues and other things, and I was just like, "Dang, girl, you look good," okay? Because she worked on herself. She stopped trying to date people and try and find this perfect person, and instead she found God. And I liked that. I was good with that. I was like, "We can do this." So my great advice for some of you who hope to have a godly marriage one day is to, right, work on yourself. Okay? Prepare yourself for your two. Okay? That's what we need to be able to do. That's what we need right now, because 50-50 odds is not good enough. And I'm telling you, if you will seek God, he will bring your two to you, okay? He will do that for you. Nothing you have to be able to do, okay? You need to be able to put that in God's hands. You need to take your hands off of it, because, man, sometimes our hands are terrible at what they need to be able to do, okay? Now, for those of you guys who are married, we're going to address you guys, okay? This is what I want your guys' commitment is, I will always seek the one with my two, okay? I will always seek the one with my two, right? We're married. We're going to always seek the one with our two, okay? That's what I want you to be able to do, is we need to be able to seek the one with our spouse. That's the only way it's going to happen. Why is this important, Pastor Zach? Well, I'll give you a great reason why this is important. Okay, because life is hard, okay? Life has struggles, okay? And when you've got the butterflies and you've got your honeymoon phase, as many people call it, okay? After that ends, people always say, "Well, that's when the fights start," okay? Once you get past that 3 to 6 year span, that's when the fights start, okay? So what happens is, right, as guys, we're like, "Oh, she's so great, she's organized, she does everything she needs to." And then all of a sudden, we go to start to demonize them. "She's a control freak, she's crazy, she won't let me do anything, I can't, she nags, right? And then the other side, you know, the ladies usually like, "Well, you know, he's so great, he talks, he's such a leader, you know, next thing you know, he's a bump on a log, he's lazy, he can't get things done on time, all he does is play video games all day." Okay, idolize to demonize. I see this happen, and it's happened a lot. You'll see it sometimes in just dating relationships, right? So how do we seek God together? Okay? How do we do that? That might be a question that you have, and there's some practical ways for you to be able to do that. But I believe the best thing for you to be able to do, okay, and we're going to kind of unpack this for a little bit. So it's not just going to be a straightforward answer, okay, because each of us are different. Each of us look at the world differently. We think differently. We do things differently. And so you've got to be able to apply this to yourself, okay? I'm giving you guys a little bit of homework, all right? But I believe the biggest thing that you need to be able to do right now is in your habits. Habits are a really big thing for all of us, okay? Now, you have some habits that are your keystone habits, okay? These are the things that can trigger positive disciplines or negative disciplines, okay? And I've got one myself, okay? And I know it very, very well because I recognized it long ago when I was in high school. And it's, for me, it's to stop complaining. Now, that sounds really weird, right? Okay, some of you guys might be like, well, it's brushing my teeth or, right, going to bed at a certain time or anything like that. But there's certain habits that do something. So for me, right, if I complain that day, if I wake up complaining about every little thing, I'm going to have a terrible day. Okay, I am just that kind of a person because when I get on a roll of complaining, I can't stop. Okay, trust me, you can ask my wife. It's from one thing to the next. Every little thing will annoy me for the rest of the day. Okay? So if I choose to be positive, then I'm going to be able to have a great day. Okay? So let me kind of give it to you as an example. Okay, right? If I don't complain that day, I have a great day. I go to bed on time. I wake up. I brush my teeth. I want to work out. I want to do all these great things. I'm a better father. I'm a better husband. Okay? Now, if I do complain, okay, and if I don't continue in that habit, then we get a problem. The problem occurs is now I'm constantly an angry person. I'm constantly unhappy. I don't go to bed on time. I can't sleep. I can't do all these things. Next thing you know, I go to work. Okay, someone says, hey, you're looking fat. Now I hit them. Now I've lost my job. I'm no longer a pastor. I'm driving home, okay, and I'm speeding because I'm angry. A cop tries to pull me over, so I run because I don't have a job. I don't have income. I'm mad, and next thing you know, I'm in jail because I ran from the police. Now, that might be a little bit of an exaggeration, okay? But many of you guys may not believe that that is actually possible for me. That can actually be true. Before Kendra and I ever started dating, when I first got into a college, I was an angry person, okay? I was a hard worker because my grandpa had instilled that into me. And if you couldn't keep up, guess what? Move out the way. That's how I was. Move. Let's go. You can't do it, I'll do it. You suck, let's go. I'd tell you straight to your face, you suck. Okay, you slow, you lazy, you're weak, you can't do it, move. Okay, people had to work on me, okay? All right, I'm not like that anymore, okay? But I learned long ago that complaining was my problem. I knew when I was in high school that, man, if I could stop complaining about cleaning my room, I would just clean my room. Guess what? I used to be that kid that most of you guys have probably had where I had a dirty pile and a clean pile on the floor, okay? Like, that was the kind of kid that I was. My mom just could not get me to clean my room. I probably didn't change my sheets for an entire year one year, okay? Never washed them, right? I slept in jeans and I wore them the next day, okay? I was that kind of a kid. When I finally stopped complaining, okay, let me tell you, I cleaned my room. I did laundry. I vacuumed it. I did all of the right things. I started sleeping in pajamas for like the first time in like 10 years. Complaining is something that's very big on me, and it's something that if I don't keep in check, I will not be the best person that I know I can be. I will not be the best father. I will not be the best husband. So if you're taking notes this morning, what I want you to write down, okay, is to seek God together in prayer. This is one of the key things that you can do in your marriage is to seek God together in prayer. Now, some of you guys, some of the ladies are probably all giddy, like, oh my gosh, he's telling him to make him pray with me. Like, yes, finally. Okay? And some of you guys are probably like, oh, darn it. Like, do I really have to? Like, I don't know how to do this. I'm not good at this. I don't understand it. It doesn't make sense. And I get all of those complications, okay? And so we're going to unpack it a little bit more because While prayer is still talking to God, yes, it is also an intimate thing that you do with your spouse. When you grab hands, right, with your spouse, and you plead to the Heavenly Father that brought you guys together, and you say, we want to have a better day together. We want to be positive today. I want you to strengthen us today. It is an intimate moment that happens. Okay? And so, in 2 Chronicles 7:14, many of you guys probably know this, it says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and do what everybody else does. No, it doesn't say that. It says, pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. You could apply it loosely and say, I will heal their marriage. Okay? If you can come together, if you are having a hard time in your marriage, and if you can just pray together, even just something so, so simple, and say, Lord, I just want to have a better day today. Help us not fight today, right? Help us not argue today. Help us agree today by your love that you have given us. It can be that simple. Lord, bless us today. Amen. Start there. I have a video that I want you guys to see from Pastor Craig and Amy Grishel, and they talk about how prayer has impacted their marriage. Go ahead and play the video.
So, Amy, what are some of the ways that we've learned to pray together as a couple?
We've prayed together all different kinds of ways, and I like that. I like that it hasn't been just so routine, because that's, to me, kept it fresh and authentic, and shows that we care about each other and our love for God. We used to pray together in restaurants when we were dating and first married, over the meal, but our prayer would go for, you know, 10 minutes or more. But over the years, you know, our lifestyles changed, where we've had babies and seminary and gotten just those really tired days, and we don't always pray together, but I think we've consistently prayed for one another. We always ask each other how we can pray for one another. And I always pray for you, and you always pray for me, and that, to me, is part of praying together.
So what would you say it does for our marriage when we're consistently praying together?
I think it makes our marriage stronger, makes us get along and feel close to one another. It makes us feel, you know, close to God together, which is really special.
So if a couple is just learning to pray, maybe they've never done it before, what's some very practical advice to help them develop a prayer relationship?
First of all, that they can do it, and they shouldn't feel intimidated, and just make it a natural part by just starting. It just takes sometimes just starting. Some simple things you can do is you could write out a prayer that's sort of an encouragement. You could text that or email that prayer. But I think praying out loud together is great, and it can just be short and sweet, just praying together before you leave the house for the day, praying before a meal. And I just don't think it has to be routine. It doesn't have to be, if we don't do this, we're not good Christians. We don't want to put any guilt or legalism to it. It needs to be natural, enjoyable, a way to support one another and look to God and depend on Him in our lives and in our marriage.
I really like the video because it just it shows so many different things. And I get it that there's a lot of different complications for some of you guys maybe in this room. Maybe some of you, right, are where maybe one of your spouses is not living for Jesus. They're not a Christian. They don't know Him. They don't know God. And so maybe one of you is. Maybe it's the husband. Maybe it's the wife. And maybe you just start and just ask, hey, can I just pray over the meals when we eat dinner every night? And just pray that God would bless the meal, right? That He would bless the rest of the day, that He would bless tomorrow, okay? There's something else that prayer does together when you pray together, okay? There's a couple things that happen. One, you realize that the person you married that you love actually still does care about you. While you might say, I love you every day, it gets really redundant when every time you leave the house, if you have a stay-at-home spouse, right, and you say, I love you, and you give a kiss goodbye, that's great, But when you're praying for someone and you know that they're struggling with someone with something, right? When Kendra prays for me, okay, and she knows I've got a big day ahead of me, she prays for that thing. She's praying for it. I can hear the care in her voice that she cares about that thing. I know because a lot of times after that thing has happened, she'll text me and say, I was praying for you. I hope things went well today. You can even just send a text prayer, right? Just say, I'm praying for you today. I love you. Pray your meeting goes well. You guys can just pray about the things that you guys have coming up, the big things, maybe buying a house, selling a house, moving, a new job, any of those things. Because it lets you know that that person also cares about that thing that's going on in your guys' lives, right? When Kendra hears me pray for my son's ears that have been a problem for the last 2 years, it lets her know that it's on my mind that I care about my son and the issues that he's having, that I have not forgotten about them. Because sometimes we don't talk about them because they've been there for so long. And I believe that Satan doesn't want you to pray with your spouse. I believe that. Because he would rather you guys fight and argue and do everything else rather than pray. All it has to do is just be simple. It just has to start somewhere. For those of you guys who have been doing it, maybe you need to get a little more organized, right? Maybe you need to write out a prayer list of the things that need to be prayed over, right? For your family members that are struggling or are having a hard time, right? Praying for your church or those that you know that are in your church where their marriage is struggling and you pray for them daily. And yeah, you might miss days. It's going to happen. One of you is going to get sick probably, right? One of you is going to go on a trip and you won't be able to talk on the phone constantly in order to be able to do that. So you take time and you pray for each other even when you're separated. And you just text, hey, I'm praying for you today. I love you. Have a good day. That's what we need to be able to do. We just have to be able to start somewhere. Find somewhere to start. And I know it sounds crazy, but you have to be able to start somewhere. Some of you guys might say, well, that's just way too hard. I just don't think it's not okay with me. Well, many of you guys may not know, when I was born with asthma, okay? And I had it pretty severe, and they used to tell me that I was going to have scars on my lungs, okay? I used to have to take breathing treatments constantly, okay? This big old giant thing, and it would just pump air and oxygen and whatever medication I had to take in order to be able to do it. I hated running. I hated all of these things. By the time I was in high school, I ran cross country. I don't have scars on my lungs, okay? But in order for me to be able to get to a spot of running, I had to start somewhere. I had to start walking more. I had to be able to do this. I had to do that. I had to get a job doing a paper route, and I would just do a paper route, and I would walk the paper route. And it strengthened me, and it strengthened my lungs. You have to start somewhere. If you ever want to lose weight, just start doing 5 push-ups a day. 5 days a week even, not even every single day. You got to start somewhere. Do 10 crunches a day. Every other day, start somewhere. Pastor Craig has just started swimming 3 times a week. That's all he's done. And you maybe some of you guys haven't noticed it, but he's lost over 50 pounds. It's absolutely incredible because he found something and he stuck to it. He found a habit that he needed to stick to, and it makes his day better every day, every time he does it. Now, maybe you're still saying, you're still on the fence. If you're still on the fence, then take the 50-50 odds. Go ahead. Because that's what's being offered to you right now. You can either start praying together, or you can still take the 50-50 odds. And if you are on the other side of the 50 odds where it's great, then you're going to be miserable probably. Good chance. Good chance. But that's up to you. I can't force you to do any of this. I'm recommending this to you, and I'm praying and hoping that you will. Pastor Craig and I are. This is what we're doing. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 tells us to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then everything else will be added unto us. We seek God first to be able to help us. Now, some of you guys might say, but we don't do that. hey, from this day forward, right, from when you got married, from this day forward, right, we're going to pray together. From this day forward, we're going to read the word together. From this day forward, we're going to do better. We're going to try. We're going to pray over the meals. From this day forward. Well, I'm uncomfortable. Get over it. Okay? For those of you who are in our men's group, so I'm going to talk specifically to the men. If you've been a part of our men's group at all, we came up with something, and it was, at least in my table, okay, was talking about what makes a man. How do you become from a boy to become a man? And it, what we generally have come up with, and when I talk to most people, is it's when you accept responsibility that is not just your own. When you accept responsibility, if you have a family, right, that is your responsibility, and you accept it and you do it. Well, guess what? Be a man. It's time to step up, and it's time to accept the responsibility that you were given, that you have to be able to do this. I accepted that long ago when I first went to college. I made some dumb mistakes before I did and all these other problems. And I realized I made those mistakes. They were on me. There was nothing else I could do. And I told myself, if I fail this program in the next 6 months, because that's just how it was feeling, I will not go back home. I accept the responsibility. I will live out of my car if I have to. I am not going home. I did not leave myself a get-out-of-jail-free card or anything like that. I said, this is on me. I'm accepting the responsibility, and I'm going to do it. And men, it's time to accept the responsibility and pray for your family if you're not. I want to share a story with you guys, and then I'm going to pray. And it's a story about my grandpa and my grandma. My grandma near passed, Diane near passed. She passed away several months ago, and just every now and then, I just kind of keep reflecting on the stories from my grandparents, because I love my grandparents. They were a big part of my life, and recently, we were reading a story to my kids, and it was like, you know, and we go, and it's Grandma's Day. We're going to go over to Grandma's, and it's Baking Day at Grandma's, or, you know, I love Grandpa's stories because they always take us far and wide and into the stars and all these things. And this is just a personal thing. And so it makes me sad because my parents aren't like that for my kids. My kids will never have the grandparent experience like I did, right? They'll never have that because my parents just aren't that way. My dad's in deep struggles. And my mom somewhat is too, and so are my siblings, and they're in a hard place, and so it's not like I can turn to them where they can have the great fun, you know, Aunt Becky or Aunt Emily or anything like that. I don't have that. My kids will never experience what I got to, and so I've got to be able to give it to them in a different way. So I share stories, so I constantly think about my grandparents. But my grandpa told me a story one day. My grandma confirmed this story to be true. My grandpa, he was getting ready for work, and he leaves work, and he's driving in his truck. My grandpa's always had a truck, and he's a truck kind of guy, manual, okay? And he's driving down the road, and it's fall, and it's cold out. It's decently cold out, okay? And he's driving by, and he sees this family on the side of the road, a mom and a dad and a son, and they're carrying just a couple bags of groceries, just came from the store, and they live just up the road, and my grandpa hears from the Lord, and the Lord tells him, hey, I want you to pull over. I want you to talk to him. I want you to witness to him. And he says, okay. My grandpa never shied away from doing anything that the Lord told him to do. And so he did. He pulled out in front of him, and he got out the car, and he greeted him, and he said, hi, hello, and he heard their story, and they lived just over there, and they didn't need a ride or anything. And so he witnessed to him, and he offered to pray with him, and he did. And just before he's ending the prayer, my grandpa hears from the Lord again, and the Lord tells him, I want you to give him $50. He's like, I know I don't have $50 in my wallet, but I'll check. Pulled out his wallet, no cash. And then he hears from God again, and he says, check your coat pocket. He reaches into his coat pocket, and he pulls out two 20s and a 10. And he hands it to him. My grandpa's all super excited. He's like, would you just put money in my pocket? Like, how'd you do that? Like, that's incredible. Like, what? Okay, my grandpa's like over the hill at this point, okay? right? He goes to work. He does his thing. He comes home and he tells my grandma the story of what happened and what God had him do. And she says, well, that's not exactly how it went. And my grandpa is confused. And he's like, well, what do you mean? And she says, while you were getting dressed that morning, the Lord told me to put that money in your coat pocket. The only way that happened is because my grandparents were determined to pray and do their devotions with each other every morning. Even when one of them was sick, the other one would get up and get on the side of the bed and read the devotions and pray for that day. That's how determined they were. They'd wake up almost every morning between 4 and 5 a.m. to do that. Every morning. I remember staying the night at their house, sleeping on the couch, and waking up at 5 in the morning to hearing them praying in the next room. That was my grandparents. The only way that happened was because of that. You know, it's really hard to be able to fight with someone that you pray with. It's really hard to divorce someone and say they're a jerk, they're mean, and you hate them, and they're the Antichrist when you pray for each other every day. When God's doing things like that in your marriage, and you're both listening to God, and you're making something incredible happen that you can't even foresee what's going to happen, and help another person out, help another family out, because you both heard from the Lord the way you were supposed to. When we seek God together, He can do great things. It's only together can we do that. There's just never stop seeking the one. That's all I can tell you, is never stop seeking the one. So you can do great things like that. That's all I can tell you. If you're not there yet, you don't have a spouse, continue to prepare for the two. Just seek God. Just seek God and it'll happen. I want to pray over you guys this morning. Father, I pray today that your Holy Spirit would do a work in all of our hearts. God, for those that are not yet married but hope to be one day, I pray that you would fall in love with seeking you, that they would find you as their one, and they would prepare them, and that you would prepare them for their two. God, for those that are married, I pray that you would commit and always seek the one with their two. God, that you would just help us overcome our fears, the uncomfortableness, the not knowing, the not understanding, and Lord, we would just do it. That we would just seek you. God, I pray today that you would just throw a broad net out over this whole thing, over every single person here, with your love, your care, everything.
You have been listening to the podcast of Radius Church in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please check us out at radiuschurch.life or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation.